This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm John Idsty.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Good morning. With all the emails, instant messages, voicemails, and faxes that pass through even a small company these days, a lawsuit can involve retrieving massive amounts of information. Prosecutors, defenders, and judges want to know who wrote what when. Today, new rules go into effect governing just how companies must save and produce information should they find themselves in court. NPR's Ari Shapiro has more.
About 20 years ago, Susan Hackett finished her first year of law school. She landed a summer job in Washington working on one of the biggest cases of the day, the AT&T MCI antitrust suit. Her job was what's known in the legal profession as document review, which is not nearly as interesting as it sounds.
Literally, there was a whole building that had been put aside where there were rooms that were stacked from floor to ceiling with boxes.
Those boxes contained files that came straight from the offices of phone company employees.
And all of us little squirrel law students were working our way looking for nuts through all of these boxes, and we spent a whole summer doing nothing for 12 hours a day except sorting paper.
They were looking for documents that would be relevant to the case. Today, Hackett is general counsel for the Association of Corporate Counsel, and in retrospect, she says, that building full of phone company files looks laughably small.
Now you'd have to multiply that by 400 or by 4,000 because the amount of documentation that can be kept electronically is so exponentially higher than the amount that people will keep in their drawers that there's just no comparison between the two.
It's not just the amount of information that's changed. Phoenix attorney George Paul is co-chair of the American Bar Association's Digital Evidence Project. He says for thousands of years, humans have stored information the same way, by moving molecules, whether they're scratching on a stone or clacking on a typewriter. Not anymore. Today, Paul says,
you can create maybe 10 million original records and then edit each of them. And all the information is hooked up to different human minds and is flowing in essence like a living ecosystem.
A fascinating idea for philosophers, perhaps, but figuratively speaking anyway, lawyers have to put the ecosystem in a box and haul it to a court. Christine Jones is general counsel for the GoDaddy Group, which registers website names.
You can imagine it's very difficult for me to say I can produce the conversations had between employee A and employee B when they come on an employee-owned cell phone, one of which is run by Singular and one of which is run by Verizon.
Is that something you're afraid you may someday be asked to produce in court and be unable to do?
Well, I'm sure I'll be asked, and I'm sure I'll be unable. Whether or not I'm sanctioned is going to be up to the judge, because the judge, I think, based on the new rules, bears broad discretion to determine whether or not the parties acted in good faith.
These new rules tell lawyers and judges how to work together to set the guidelines for a particular case. The last time the rules were amended was 1970, when electronic calculators were still a new thing. Lee Rosenthal, who's a federal judge in Houston, Texas, helped write the new rules.
The challenge for the judge, of course, is to try to understand the choices that were before the data producer at the time and to not be overly influenced by the distortions of hindsight.
For companies, one challenge is to responsibly manage millions of documents without blowing the company budget. At Verizon's Washington, D.C. legal department, antitrust specialist Joe Ugolini sits in a cubicle looking at his computer screen. It shows a list of folders with attorneys' names on them. This is the modern-day equivalent of the warehouse where law students worked on the phone company merger case 20 years ago.
These folders down here are the folders of every contract reviewer we have working on the site right now, so I can monitor their speed, I can see their accuracy, I can check and see what folders they have. So I can pretty much monitor them and distribute work from here while they're on the site working.
But the company still has to pay them a lawyer's salary. For one recent Verizon case, more than 200 lawyers worked on document review. Right now, the company has more than 100 lawsuits, and every day, companies produce more information than they did the day before. So Verizon's part of a team that's testing new forms of document review. Patrick Oot is the company's director of electronic discovery.
We are working on a study that sort of compares the search and retrieval technology using computers and artificial intelligence to look at our documents and categorize our documents, and comparing that to the traditional process of document review.
So computers may one day do the work of some of these attorneys. In the meantime, a cottage industry has sprung up around electronic document recovery. Anyone who knows how to resurrect and organize deleted emails stands to make a lot of money. Small companies who've never been sued may have to decide whether to invest in that kind of program or not, a decision roughly equivalent to choosing whether to drive without car insurance and hope you don't get hit. Even companies that do have the money to invest in these programs complain that they're chasing a moving finish line, as technology quickly makes the most cutting-edge programs obsolete. From the prosecutor's perspective, these complaints are just the latest gripes from companies that hate all forms of litigation. When Tom DiBaggio was U.S. Attorney for Baltimore, he prosecuted many white-collar cases.
If people were communicating with rocks, people would be complaining, well, preserving rocks and producing rocks is very expensive. We need 1,000 dump trucks. Well, this is how people are communicating these days.
He says litigation is about resolving factual disputes. And to do that, you need the documents, whatever form they're in. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.